simple meaning of the way Rambam of Vayimivar Tanura and some of the other commentators on the Mishnah that we've been reading, and the word Ati Rashat Ne'atzmacha, the simple understanding was, it means don't look at yourself as being wicked because it'll have some kind of negative consequence. The negative consequence may be that you end up spending time with the wrong crowd because you see yourself as belonging to that crowd, and that leads to further doing avirus, or it might be that you give up on your own hope of doing tshuva, and so you don't even bother to do tshuva. Maybe you do, you're willing to participate in more minor sins because you figure you're going to get a worse punishment anyway. There are different permutations of this idea, but essentially that reading of it is, don't look at yourself, right? Don't consider yourself to be wicked. So I thought that there might be a connection to a phrase that appears elsewhere in rabbinic literature, especially in the Gemara, where in legal context, the Gemara says, "In Adam Nesim Atzmo Rasha," a person cannot make himself or render himself wicked, right? Or another way of reading is, a person does not render himself wicked. Okay, so I thought maybe there's a connection between the Mishnah and Perkei Avos basically telling you not to do that, and the Gemara saying you can't or people don't do that. Make sense? Okay, so the first part of this is to read a couple of Gemaras in Sanhedrin where this comes up, look at the context, see if we can figure out what this statement means, and then we'll look at some approaches of the commentators to understanding what this phrase means, and we'll look at further Gemaras and see if we can tease out what we think is correct. And then this is just it's a mystery exactly what this phrase means that continues to the present day. You'll find almost every century people are still trying to figure out what this phrase means. So maybe we'll have a conclusion, maybe not. All right. So let's start with the Gemaras. That's the first part of this. So the locus classicus, which means the central place where this shows up, is in the Gemara towards the beginning of Masachat Sanhedrin, source 32 on page 11, where there is a debate between Rav Yosef and Rava. Rav Yosef was a generation before Rava, and they argue about a particular case, and it's a pretty graphic case, but we're going to be explicit about it anyway, because you can't understand it without reading it that way. So the Gemara quotes, the Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, Ploni Rivo Leonso, Hu V'Acher Mitztarfim Harko. So if person A says that person B sodomized him in a means of rape, they forcibly sodomized him, then the victim and another witness can be witnesses together as a pair of witnesses to testify against the rapist to put him to death. Right? And it has to be a man because women are disqualified from testimony. So we're talking about a man. Okay? Now, Lirtzono, if the person who was sodomized wanted to be sodomized, meaning this was consensual sex, then Rashahu, then the person who was sodomized and who wants to testify is considered halakhically a Rasha because he willingly participated in an Avera. The Torah prohibits sodomy and prohibits it for both people involved in it, the sodomizer and the sodomizee. So the HaTorah Amra Al-Tashiz Rasha Eid, and the Torah specifies that you cannot accept someone who is wicked, someone who has done Avera to be intentionally to be a witness. Okay, so he's disqualified by his own admission, right? So, Rav Amar, Adam Karov Esa Atmo, the In Adam Esim Atmo Rasha. Rava disagrees with Rav Yosef, and he says something that's a little bit difficult to parse, because it seems like it's two different things, and the question is, are these two different things, and how does this fit? What does he mean? So he says,
I have a question about Rav Yosef.
Yeah.
What are the other times when we accept only one witness?
We're not accepting one witness here. He's saying, since he's a Rasha, we don't accept him as a witness, and by his own admission, and therefore, we cannot put the sodomizer to death, because there is not.
No, we're choosing to say that he basically joins with another witness to become two witnesses.
That was if he's raped.
Right.
So then it's two witnesses,
okay.
If he's one of the two.
Okay.
But if he himself says, I participated willingly, then he is rendering himself a Rasha by his own admission, and he cannot participate in a testimony against this guy, and therefore he's not put to death unless another witness shows up.
It is odd to accept him as a witness in the first case, though.
Why?
Because he's I forget the phrase, but he's
Baal Davar.
Yeah.
You'll get,
he's a litigant.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
so
he's not a litigant.
Because it's a criminal.
That's what Baal Davar means.
Well, but yeah. So, well, I guess, so he's, yeah, I guess he is. He would be a litigant if he were bringing the case. He may not be the one bringing the case.
Right, that's the point,
but
is that he's not.
He's involved in the case. He's not a bystander.
Right. Well, he's involved, but his involvement is really just a detail and not the main point. The main point is, did the sodomizer commit the crime or not? And we determine whether they really witnessed it by interrogating each witness independently about various details. Where did this happen? How did this happen? What did you see happen? So if they both, they would have to agree on who the victim is. That would be a detail, right? The problem is that if he says that about himself, according to Rav Yosef, if he says that about himself, and he says willingly, I did this willingly, then what he...
Oh, I don't have a problem with the second one. It's the first case.
Right. So if he says I didn't do it willingly, so then he's sort of he's saying it happened to me, but that there's no reason you can't testify if something happened to me.
Yeah,
if you're just the passive object in the case, why not?
I mean, if somebody robbed you, you male,
yeah.
You could be a witness for someone.
So that's interesting. Test case, right? So here, because in a case of this is not there's no monetary. There's nothing monetary about this.
No, let me take
right?
it robbed. Okay.
Okay. So there's not really a litigant, right? There's either he did the crime or didn't do the crime. But with a robbery, there's a victim, and the punishment for robbery is you pay the guy back, right?
Right,
right, right. Right.
So
that's a little bit
more questionable.
Yeah.
Okay. In that case.
Okay, so I see why he is sort of neutral in a way.
Yeah.
He could be considered neutral.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Rava disagrees, but he could have just said, he could have said it more explicitly. He has this phrase, and the phrase gets repeated multiple times in Shas, and we need to parse what the pieces are. So the first piece of it is Adam Karov Etz Atzma. So to understand what that means is, first of all, the word Karov means a relative or a kin. Okay? And a Karov, according to Torah law, a karov, a relative, is not allowed to testify in a case involving his relative. Okay?
So the point here is you can't testify against yourself.
Right. So I can't testify about my brother. I can't testify about my sister, my parents, my son or daughter, my wife. So I also cannot testify, although wife might be in a different category, but I can't test. So here, he's using the word karov, and he's saying, I'm a karov about myself. Now, if we took that in the traditional sense, okay, so then if we looked at, if I looked at myself as being the same as my brother, testifying about myself, if I looked at my testimony about myself as the same as my brother testifying about myself, then I should still be disqualified from testifying. So that can't be what he means. Okay?
Because of what Rabbi Yosef
what?
Said?
Because then, because my brother can't, because my brother can't testify about this case.
Right.
Because your brother wasn't there.
No, if my brother were there, he still wouldn't be able to testify about it.
So what, hold on, what's bothering you?
So what's bothering me is that if I am the same as my brother in terms of my relationship to myself, then I shouldn't be able to testify, not because I'm a Rasha, but because I'm a Karov.
Well, your problem is that he says both of these things. If he'd only said one
of them, leave aside the second statement. Before we even get to that, let's say he just said, Arum Karov Eto Atmo, and therefore he should be able to testify. He's disagreeing with what he'll see. He's saying that the sodomizee, the person who was sodomized,
right,
even willingly, can testify.
Right.
Because Adam Karov Eto Atmo. Let's leave aside the second part for a second. If that's all we had, Adam Karov Eto Atmo, and we took it literally and it meant that he really is a Karov to himself in the same way that his brother is a Karov to him, his testimony should still not be accepted.
About whom?
About the whole case.
About the sodomizer.
What? About the sodomizer, yeah. He shouldn't be able to put the sodomizer to death.
Why?
Because, as we're going to see as the Gemara goes on.
Page 11.
Yeah, we're on page 11, source 32. We're going to see one might have thought that a relative, he's going to talk about a wife and say, well, a wife ends up being like the same as himself and not like a regular relative, where we would not accept the testimony about them.
I don't care what's bothering
you. You don't care what's bothering me?
No.
So, my understanding...
I walk into court, the man walks into court and says, X and Y engaged in this activity. And the court says, X and I engage in something. Court says, well, we can believe you about X, but we can't believe you about you because you don't have standing to testify about yourself.
But you only don't have standing to testify about yourself because you...
Because you're a relative of yourself.
No, it's only, but...
That's the first one. We're on the first part. We're not on the second. It sounds like a totally normal, technical, schmechnical to me.
So I'm saying what I'm trying to get at.
In any case, if you happen to be involved in the case, so this is the same argument, the same question that I raised before.
Yeah, I think. No. It's not if you happen to be involved in the case. It's that.
Is it because he enjoyed it or not? He was willing or not?
I think I'm getting it. We haven't yet gotten to Pogina and Dimura, so the issue.
Yeah,
is,
we're not talking about that yet.
Can we allow the testimony against the person A by person B when one of the details that would have to be brought up about what it was that person A did involved person B.
Yeah, so, like, how does it help? Right. How does it help that... Oh, so he's a cutthroat. How does it help? How does it help that he's a cutthroat? Okay, that shouldn't help. Because if anything, that just means, okay, so he's not puzzled because what he's saying makes him a Rasha. He's puzzled because what he's saying is about himself. And if you're testifying about yourself, then it's the same as if your brother testified about you, which he can't, and should be invalid, and so his whole testimony should be thrown out.
Well, because because you're putting him in the position of having to say something about himself, which the result of which makes him guilty of something. So
no, that's the second statement. Before you even say that. Before you even get to that, right? Why is he allowed, if he's a relative to himself, why is he allowed to testify about himself? My brother can't testify about me, so why can't I testify about me?
Super basic question, where does he testify about himself?
Because he's saying, so-and-so sodomized me, right?
About himself.
And himself.
No, he's saying it was against his will.
No, we're in the second part now. We're in the voluntary section.
Oh, okay.
In the first part, we never said that when I testify about myself, I'm a cutthroat to myself, right? So according to Rav Yosef, that part's not the problem, because if you don't hold Adam Karov Yitzhak Atzmo, if you don't hold you're a relative to yourself, so there's no reason why you can't testify about yourself. As far as I know, you can always testify about yourself. Never a problem. I can always testify about myself. In fact, I can so much testify about myself that I even disqualify myself from testimony because I make myself a Rasha by testifying that I participated willingly in sodomy, right? Then I have now rendered myself a Rasha, and now my whole testimony gets thrown out, and I can't testify that the guy is guilty of sodomy. But if I say I was raped, so then I'm not making myself a Rasha, and I'm not karov to myself, I'm not my own relative, so of course I could testify about myself as the victim. Just why not? Why shouldn't I be able to testify about myself? No one said I can't, right? In any case, the main point's about that guy, so it's fine. But now Rava adds a new thing. He says, oh, you're relative to yourself. Wait, if that's the case, why am I allowed to testify about myself at all? Right? Rava's whole point should be, I disagree with Rav Yosef, and you should be able to testify about the guy who did the sodomizing, and regardless of whether you participated willingly, I participated willingly or not. Right? So then, how does it help to say that I'm relative to myself, right? Okay, so what you have to say this, right, is that it's not a problem, okay, to testify about yourself if yourself is just a detail. It's only a problem to testify about yourself or about your relative if they're the main point, okay? And he's only the main point in the case about whether he is a Rasha or not. Not in the case about whether whether the sodomizer sodomized. You following?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay? So as far as whether Plony really did sodomize somebody, who he sodomized is a detail. Right? The problem is, if when I am giving that detail, I am also admitting to a crime, right, that would render me invalid to say that whole testimony, unless we don't believe that part of the testimony about myself as far as how it affects my own status. We believe it maybe as a detail that gets written up, but we don't believe it as far as something that could affect my status as a witness.
So in effect, what we're interpreting Rava to be saying is, you're not allowed to testify about yourself. You can testify about something where you happen to be a bystander, because it's not really about yourself.
Right. And that both people have, both Rava and Rav Yosef have to agree about that first point. What they disagree about in the second point is when you do testify about yourself, does it work or not?
Uh-huh.
Okay? Rav Yossi says it does work because, right, they both agree if you are just ancillary, if you're just a secondary detail, then certainly it works. The question is if you're the main point. So Rava says if you're the main point about what you're testifying about, meaning if I say I participated in a crime, right, you can use that information only to help to affect someone else's status, but not mine. You can use that information only to affect someone else, but not me. And that's potentially what he means in the continuation. As a result, in Adam Mason Asma Russia, because I'm a karos to myself, I can never be made into a Russia. That's one way of reading this.
Oh, so in this case, then he's still convicting person A.
He's still convicting person A because the reason he can is because he can't make himself a Russia because he's a karos to himself. That's what, so in Adam Mason Asma Russia, in that case, is not very a not particularly meaningful phrase. It's just telling us like this additional fact that, by the way, anytime you testify about yourself, you're going to make yourself, and you would be making yourself into Russia, with, you know, but you can't testify about yourself because you're a karos to yourself, and therefore you can't make yourself a Russia. But there's nothing special to the fact that you can't make yourself a Russia. There's nothing, has nothing to do with our Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, because this is not about, you know, there's some rule about you incriminating yourself. It's just that whatever it is that you're testifying about yourself, we can't listen to it because it would be the same thing as if your brother was testifying about you. Does that make sense?
Oh, I still find it to be that since you can't testify about yourself, if there's a case in which the consequences of us believing that you might be able to testify about yourself were that you became a Russia, you don't because of the first part of the sentence.
Yeah, but it's because of the first
because
part.
Because of the first part.
The other way of reading it is that there's some rule. We have two rules. We have one rule, Aram Karavitas, so that's number one. That's the first reason why you can't invalidate yourself from the case. Adam Karvei Tzatzmo, that part we got. And then separately, Rava had something else that he added we have to figure out why this is even necessary to say this, but he added a second point. And by the way, there's a separate rule having nothing to do with the fact that you're a karos to yourself, that you're related to yourself, having nothing to do with that. Also, by the way, you cannot make yourself a Russia, period. You cannot make yourself a Russia. We do not listen to that part of your statement. We can't
accept. Even if it's not in court.
And so we have to act, anytime you say something that's self-incriminating, we have to act as if you didn't say that. That's two ways of reading this. Okay? The following? Yeah? Okay.
That's a more radical reading.
It's a more radical reading, yeah.
Well, doesn't that put you in terms of Yom Kippur?
Well,
that's not the court, that's God.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. It's relevant, right? It's absolutely relevant.
You just said that
it's absolutely relevant.
More radical reading includes non-legal context.
Yeah, it's absolutely relevant. So I don't know, I didn't say outside of legal context. What I am saying, though, is that maybe there is a separate rule, and then we have to figure out, well, if there is a separate rule, what are the boundaries of that rule? When does that apply? And you could take it as far as what Judy is saying, which is, does that mean that I can't even, you know, admit to a crime between myself and God? What does that mean? I can't render myself a Russia. You know.
Pesach, we also call one of the sons Russia.
Right, but there, that's our assessment, not his. Right. So other people can render you a Russia. The question is, can you render yourself? You know, can I sit down at the table and say, I want you to treat me like a Russia, you know? That's
strange.
Okay? So we have to figure that out. So part of how we...
I thought it would prefer to be the other way around, that you can assess yourself rather than having only other people be able to assess you.
I hear what you're saying. Well, maybe no. Maybe
people
no.
Hate themselves more than other people.
Okay, but that's a psychological view on it. But on a purely legal, like, justice level,
yeah.
I actually disagree with what you're saying.
Yeah, okay.
Because maybe on a rumor level you're right, but on a justice level, you don't want to be able to incriminate yourself.
Yeah.
In American law, you can incriminate yourself, but you have the right to refuse to.
Right.
In Jewish law, what we're saying is you cannot, but the question is, what are the boundaries of that? And part of that is going to depend on how we understand this phrase. Is it because you're a karov? In which case, that's only going to apply in a case where you're trying to testify about yourself. But what about a situation where it's not testimony? Or what about a situation where actually we do accept a karov to say this? Or we do accept your testimony about this type of thing? You know, and it's not, there is no karov eitz atzmo problem. Is there still a ainet amnesim atzmo rasha problem? So that's what we need to figure out. And part of that is going to be going through these gemaras and teasing it out. Okay? So the gemara, you know, does some of the work for us. So it says, so Rava goes on, Rava says, Amar Rava, ploni ba'al ishti. What if somebody comes to court and he says, with another guy, okay? And he says, so-and-so had sex with my wife. Okay? That's what he said. Hu v'acher mitztarfin l'hargo avalo l'harga. The husband and another, you know, third-party witness can testify against the man to put the man to death for adultery, but cannot testify, they cannot successfully testify against his wife to put her to death. Okay? Of course, if she was raped, they wouldn't put her to death anyway. But let's say she did it willingly. So the Torah law is that if there is adultery where it's a married woman and any man other than her husband, both people are liable for the death penalty. If two witnesses see it, warn them not to do it, they say we're going to do it anyway, they do it in front of the witnesses, and the two witnesses go to court and testify. Okay? So what if the husband's one of the witnesses? So that Rava says that the husband's one of the witnesses, they can only put to death the adulterer man, not the adulterous woman. So, Maikam Ashmalad, what is Rava teaching us? Dimifalginan bidibura, that we can split his testimony. Okay, and this is a whole separate topic we could spend months on, Palginan dibura, exactly when do we split the words and what does splitting the words mean? Okay, so we're not going to get too much into that, exactly how do we split the words, but essentially it means that even though he is saying something that obviously affects him and affects his wife, we're going to not apply the consequences to him and his wife and only apply the consequences to the man involved in this adultery scenario.
This is huge. We would think like either something happened or it didn't happen. And if it happened, then we figure out who's liable. If it didn't happen, then no one's liable. But here we're saying we look at the individual and figure out what did each individual do instead of which acts happened.
Right. And part of the topic of Palgian Dibura is like, well, is it that we believe the story, we just can't apply the consequences? Or do we actually just pretend that somebody else is there? Do we fix his words to mean like, oh, well, really he's saying rape. Really he's saying rape. Like, it can't possibly mean that they did it, you know, intentionally, because he can't say that about his wife. So what it really means is that so-and-so, you know, ploni raped him. Or do we say, no, he's not saying rape. He's saying, no, that, you know, there was a consensual adultery here. But the woman, we don't know who the woman is. We're not identifying the woman. It's some woman, you know. It doesn't matter who the woman is. What matters is that this guy committed adultery. And we might be able to identify the person, but the person's specific identity is not too important for this. So those are all different ways.
In any other criminal case, every one of these details would be a reason to void a witness.
What do you mean? In which?
Where was it? What kind of tree was it? Was the sun over there? Or was the sun over there? I mean, every one of them.
No, of course we're going to ask that question about who it is, but how do we fix it so that he's not testifying about his wife or about himself? We have to, so what does Pagin and Dibura mean? How does it work? So those are, that's a discussion, okay? But it's not our topic right now. Okay, so we're going to put it aside. It's an interesting, important topic to talk about. we're going to put aside for a minute. And then the Gemara says, wait a second, Hainu ha. Isn't testifying about your wife the same as testifying about yourself? Mao de tema, what might I have said? Adam karveis ha'atmo, I mean, we only say a person's a relative to himself. So he can't testify about himself, make himself a rasha, and therefore, or he can't, right, he can't make himself disqualified from testifying about the other guy. It's a ishto lo amin, but we don't say about his wife that he can't testify about his wife. You know, he can testify about his wife, but if he's testifying about his wife, then what?
Well,
we put her to death also.
Adam to ishto, and therefore he can't testify about his wife either? The same way, I mean, he can't...
So, one second. So what does it mean? What does it mean? It's ishto lo amin. It means I might have thought I could kill both of them. Right? Could kill both of them because I'm not a cuddle to my wife. Is that what that means? That's difficult though, right? Because then you're testifying about your wife, which you wouldn't be able to do if the other guy wasn't involved. You can't just go and testify about your wife. So that's a little that way is difficult. The other way to say it is, I might have thought, Adam Karvi to Atmo, so I can testify about the other guy and ignore myself, but maybe I can't testify about the other guy and is about my wife because my wife is not close enough to myself that I can ignore my testimony about her. She's not her identity is not ancillary enough to allow me to ignore it.
You mean her participation?
Her participation. When I testified, this guy and my wife had committed adultery together willingly. I can't say that. I can't say that because my wife is not the same as me. When I testify about myself participating willingly, I can ignore that fact about myself, but I can't say that my wife's involvement is just a secondary detail to the case. It's too essential to the case, and so you have to throw out my whole testimony. It's not just a detail.
Because she is close.
She's close, but in a way, she's not. She's close. She's my relative, but she's not me.
But you said earlier,
it's not a detail because there's no adultery if there's not a married woman. So yet there has to be an establishedly identified married woman.
Maybe.
It makes him too connected to the case to even be able to bring it.
So I mean, this is also not our topic exactly, but you know, it's a little bit related because it helps us tease out exactly what does Adam Karvei Sa'atmo mean. Because if we would have thought that a wife it doesn't apply to. So what does that mean, right? It means one of two things. It either means it doesn't apply to a wife, and therefore she's not my relative, and I can testify to put her to death. But only if I'm also testifying about the other guy. That doesn't make kind of sense to me. The other way to look at it is what he's saying is that Adam Karvei Ta'atma still doesn't quite mean I'm my relative. Because once I am testifying about my relative, I actually can't testify. It means when I'm testifying about myself, I can somehow ignore that detail. But when it's my relative, I can. Right, and I would think that applies to my wife too. Kamash one, it doesn't. That my wife is just as close to me as I am to myself. And therefore I can't testify to put her to death. As opposed to, if this was my sister, and I'm testifying that my sister committed adultery with Plony.
You could testify against her.
I can't. because you can't testify against your sister.
Right.
So maybe I can't. Maybe I throw out the whole testimony against the guy too. Because it's not such a secondary detail. She's not a secondary detail. It's an important detail. It's a difficult gemara to figure out.
Why is her consent not a secondary detail?
Why is her consent not secondary?
It's her identity. That she's a married woman. Let's assume that consent is not the issue.
So that's also a thing that has to be worked out. But it's important, though, because it tells us a little bit more about what does Adam Karli Tatsu mean. Does it really mean relative? Or does it mean something that's even more? It's even closer than relative in a certain sense. Okay, so that's one point.
If it was your sister and she was raped, would you not be able to testify?
If your sister was raped, I get the impression that you would.
Well, the sister is
not being able to.
Because if somebody's raping, it doesn't matter who the identity is.
In the case of rape, then you're only testifying against the one person, right?
How could we say that you're not able to, like, for sure you're able to testify?
Right.
Why?
So then her consent is relevant.
You weren't sure, though. Rabbi, so you weren't sure whether you could testify in that case?
No.
I'm just trying to talk about being a member of the
MIT
Black Jack team or something.
My son goes to Shiloh before he was a witness at a wedding. He's not a member of the MIT Blackjack team, but he had played a lot.
So.
We're better with
it. For serious money or just for fun?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. This is not like my mother playing bridge.
So Rashi says, that's what I was saying, there's two ways to look at it, right? Rashi comes down on the side of saying that, no, what it means is that actually you would not normally be able to testify about your wife or any other relative, okay?
Even to defend them?
What?
Even to defend them.
No, for them to be punished. For them to be punished. You can't. Okay. You could testify about the other person, but when you're already testifying about somebody else, right, and it happens to be in testifying with that person, you're also testifying that your relative committed the crime with that person, then I might have thought, says Rashi, I might have thought that I could kill both of them, Kamashmo, that I can't. I can only kill him and not her.
So is that true no matter who the relative is, or it's only true about a wife?
So Tosa says, because the Baal Ke'ishto, because his wife is like himself.
His previous wife.
Which makes it sound like
if your brother,
if it's a different relative,
a larceny ring,
then maybe we would kill both of them.
And you wanted to testify about the somebody.
No, larceny was not fitting because larceny is a monetary crime. We need to go to something.
Right.
Okay. It's very hard to come up with these things.
But you personally aren't going to benefit. if he testified against him.
So?
So you may still be able to testify. It was only when, right? Before he was supposed to gain.
Because I was pointing at somebody robbed me.
Yeah, Rashi says it in a very strange way. It says, Adam Karov Inyan Pagina Dibura. Person is a relative only with regard to Pagina Dibura. V'ho'o mehemina hu Dibura l'mitzalei l'chavre, since he is believed, on the part of, as far as killing the guy, l'chtalu ha nami v'dida. We also will kill her too, because she sort of, once we accepted his testimony, maybe we should apply it to her too. Kamash Milan, that's not the case. We don't do that. Right? So why not? Okay?
Why does he start off?
So either it's because that's true of all relatives, we would never do that.
Yeah.
Okay? Or there's something unique about wife that it's just like him. Right? So that's something that has to be worked out too, because that, then depending on which of those two interpretations you take, that means that karov either means like, relative, or it means something more than relative.
Mm.
Okay. So then Rava asks, well, what about my own money? Bai Rava Ploni Rava Shori Mahu. What if I want to say that so-and-so sodomized my ox? Can I testify that so-and-so sodomized my ox, right? Because I'm really just, I'm saying, it doesn't matter whose ox it is, it just happens to be my ox. Who cares whose ox it is, right? So the answer is, of course, it affects your ox because your ox...
You put your ox to death.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You would kill the ox?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, mi'aminan adam karov ito atmav in adam karov ito mamono. Do we say that a person is his own relative, but he's not a relative to his money? So, what? Odel ma'aminan adam karov ito mamono. Or we do say a person is a relative to his money. Basar debaya hada pashta adam karov ito atmav in adam karov ito mamono. So, therefore, what? We can or we can't kill the ox? We can or we can't kill the guy. What's the conclusion?
The conclusion is you can kill the ox.
Yeah. So Rashi says the question is, do we say that we believe him and we ignore it about the ox, we don't kill the ox? Or do we say, lo amin linyan pagi dibura adam kavi eta mamono, alfa pide pagi amle el eta atmo? Or do we say, we're not going to do that about his money, and we can't ignore the detail that it's his money? So his answer is, lo amin adam kavi eta mamono, linyan pagi dibura, v'hashor yisakel. And we do kill the ox. So we kill the ox and we kill the guy. Both.
The guy is satisfying
enough. Mm-hmm. We do both. We're not plugging in Dibura. Okay? So yeah. Okay, so we see how it's a little complicated and a lot of things need to be worked out. So then, now we're going to take it from a capital case to a non-capital case. This is a Gemara Sanhedrin we just did in our Friday Sanhedrin class. Source 33. Amar Rava, Lava Baribis, Pasal Edis. Rava says that if you borrow money with the expectation that you'll pay interest on it, you are invalid to testify about anything beyond afterwards. Okay. Vanantnan Mava Baribis. Doesn't the Mishnah say that only somebody who loans money with interest is invalid? So the Gemara answers, no, it's Milva Haba Baribis. It's any loan, any party involved in a loan that involves interest is invalid as a witness. Fine. Bar Benitos Ashido Bay Treisade. Bar Benitos had two people testify against him. Chad Amar Kamin Dius Ozef Beribisa. One said, I saw him, and it was in front of me that he loaned money with interest. The Chad Amar Lididios Beribisa. And the other guy said, it was me that he loaned the money to. I am the guy that he loaned the money to. I borrowed money with interest that I owe to him. Possibly Rava the Bar Benitos. And Rava accepted these two witnesses to invalidate Bar Benitos as a witness going forward because he's a Malva Baribis. So the Gemara asks, Rava, who the Amar, Lava Baribis, possible Edis. Rava Le Rasha Vatar Amar Atshis Rasha Ed. So the Gemara says, but Rava is the one who said that one who borrows an interest is with interest is invalid for testimony, and because he's a Rasha, because he did something wrong, you're not allowed to borrow with interest, and the Torah says you can't accept such a person as a witness. So Rava Latame, Rava follows his own reasoning. To Amar Rava, Adam Kavi Yitzhatz, Rin Adam Yismatz Rasha. Rava follows his own reasoning, that a person is his own kin, and he cannot render himself wicked. Fine. So,
so you might think from based on this that these two things are together all the time and they don't you can't actually talk
about right because it's at least because you could still say like listen this is about how I when I talk about myself right so when I talk about myself if when I when I'm talking about a case and it happens to be I mentioned something about myself and that thing about myself would make myself a Rasha, that doesn't work. We don't accept that part because I'm my own Karov. And so the second part is still just a secondary part. Or the second part is its own part, but we haven't been able to separate it out. But what we do see here is that even though this is a monetary situation and not just a... So it's I'm even more involved in the case because I'm the one who's paying the interest. I'm the one who borrowed with interest. I'm the one paying the interest. We still can ignore that detail. Okay? So, Rashi's explanation, as I said, is that the whole idea of Adam Karav Yitzhatz, that whole part, is just a secondary effect of the fact that Adam Karav Yitzhatz. The fact that I can't make myself a Rasha, in Am Yitzhatz a Rasha, is just because I am my own relative. In Adam Nefsal Eidos Baudas Piv, a person cannot become invalid for testimony by his own admission, to Adam Karav Eitzel Asma, because a person is his own kin, Hilkach in Adam Yachal Asam Asma Rasha. Therefore, right, so the Zit in Adam Yisam Asma Rasha means therefore. Therefore, I cannot make myself wicked, Klomar. At any time, this is what I learned from a variety of my teachers, from Rav Rosenzweig originally, but then also in Yeshiva, from Rav Nussbacher, that klomar means, I'm going to sort of twist the meaning here a little bit, I'm going to change the meaning, I'm going to reformulate the words so that they mean what I want it to mean. That's how I am reading this text. Al idus atmo eno nasa rasha. Okay, as far as my own testimony, as far, right, I am not a rasha shahare Torah pasla karov idus. Because the Torah invalidated relatives for testimony, and I'm my own relative, so I can't testify about myself, and I can't change my own testimony status, and so therefore my testimony will be accepted, even when in my testimony I am saying something that would incriminate myself. The Nara, Karovea, and this is a Rashi on the first case, and therefore the sodomizer is put to death, the pagina di rura, because we split his testimony, split his words, and we believe him as far as his fellow, the lo meham ninan le legabe di de lepsol leidus. And we do not believe him as far as himself, as far as invalidation for testimony. So it's in a very narrow lane that we don't believe him. It's not that we don't believe that this happened, but we cannot accept it as testimony. Maybe it's true. It doesn't matter. We cannot accept it as testimony that would affect his own status as a witness. Right? Because he's a relative. Okay. It is 8:35. I don't want to hold you too long. So, what do we want to do? Another source? Do we want to stop here? How do people feel? We're okay doing another one? All right, let's do another one. Okay. This is the Gemara Nivamos. So we have to understand the context a little bit. Let me just back up and give the context. Okay, so the context is that this is if... Oh, it should not say chaf hey, I'm sorry. It should say, like, chaf something. It should not say chaf. It's not that early in Yivamos. Okay, it's much later in Yivamos. So in, there's whole chapter in Yivamos, 10th chapter of Yivamos, is dedicated to the topic of agunos, essentially, which is a woman, her husband is away, and he hasn't come back, and she's starting to wonder what's going on, and somebody comes and says, oh, your husband's dead.
One.
What?
One.
Somebody comes and says your husband's dead. Two people came, for sure we believe. One, let's say one person came. Let's say it's even somebody who isn't a valid witness. That could happen too. Okay? We will accept that testimony to allow her to get remarried. Okay? And then it's all complicated thing. Well, what if the husband turns up afterwards? That's a separate topic. We're not going to talk about that. Okay. So now, let's say the guy comes and he says, husband, Mies, the husband died. Right? Or he says, Harag Tiv, I killed him. Or he said, Harag Nuhu, we killed him. We, a group of people, or two people, we killed him. Lo Yusas Eshto. The witness who is saying this, the person who's saying that the husband died, cannot then go and marry the wife that he just permitted. Right? Because there's obviously an interest there. Rabbi Huda Omer, Harag Tiv lo Tinasa Ishto. Harag Nuhu Tinasa Ishto. Rabbi Huda says, well, even, let's put aside whether he can marry her. What about, can she get married at all? He says, if a guy says, I killed the husband, she can't get remarried at all. But if he says, we killed, then she can. Why? What difference does it make?
Is it killed or murder? Meaning if he says killed, like I killed, is he incriminating against himself, or is he just saying, like, no, it's like justified, this is literally the correct thing to do?
This, it sounds like the assumption here is that this is intentional. He's not saying that there was an accident.
No, it could be intentional. Like, maybe the husband was coming to pursue him and he acted in self-defense.
Okay, it's murder. It sounds like he's saying murder. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, he's not giving any broader context. That's all he's saying. I killed him. He's dead. That's it. So, now we have to figure out, well, why, you know, what's the distinction here? What's the argument between the first opinion and Rabbi Huda? So, the Gemara says, Mis harag tiv harag nu lo yisas ishto. If he says, he died, I killed him, or we killed him, he cannot marry away. Hu nihu de lo yisas ishto. The first opinion of the Mishnah is that he cannot marry her, but she can get remarried. We believe him that the husband's dead. We just don't allow him to be the one to marry her. Okay? Rav Yosef ploni rvani leonsi. But didn't Rav Yosef say, if a person says, so-and-so raped me, he and another guy can testify to put that guy to death, the sodomizer. But if he says sodomizer willingly, Russia, Russia, Lios, Hamas, And the Torah said you're not allowed basically to accept the testimony of a Rasha. Okay? So, the Chitema, Shani Edos Isha, unless you say, well, this is different. Okay? We are going to accept his testimony that the guy is dead, even though he's saying, I killed him, because this is Edos Isha. We have to be extra lenient for a woman who's stuck in this situation. The Akiva Bar Rabbanan, the rabbis are more lenient for someone who's stuck in a marriage where the husband is missing. V'amar Rabbi Nasha, Gazlan de Devrayhem, Kashal Edos Isha. But Rabbi Nash said we only are more lenient about rabbinic rashas, a rabbinic criminal, to allow them to testify, so a woman can get remarried. But Gazlan is a very Torah. But if he did a biblical crime, right? He stole in a biblical way. Pasul Edos Isha, then he can't even testify when it comes to allowing a woman to get remarried, where we are generally more lenient. So if that's the case, then according to Rabbi Yosef, the first part of the Mishnah doesn't make sense, because why are we believing him when he says, I killed him, believing him, why are we believing him to allow her to get remarried to somebody else other than him? So the Gemara says, well, maybe the answer is Neima Rabbi Nasha Damar Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe Rabbi Nasha just agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. So maybe the first opinion of the Mishnah, in other words, we'd have to say like this. The first opinion of the Mishnah thinks that we're lenient when it comes to allowing a woman to get remarried, even when the person committed a biblical crime. And it's only Rabbi Yehuda who thinks that there's a distinction between rabbinic and biblical crimes. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow her to get remarried if he says, I killed him. Amar lecha Rav Menashe. No, Rav Menashe could say, Anna de Amrei Afilu Rabbanan. Actually, both the rabbis, meaning the anonymous opinion, first opinion of the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda agree with me. They both distinguish between rabbinic and biblical crimes. The time of the Rabbanan. And the reason why the rabbis, the first opinion of the Mishnah says that she can get remarried even if the guy said, I killed him, the husband, is because, hacha kidarava, because now we don't hold like Rav Yosef, we hold like Rava. And Rava, Amar Rava says, Adam karov eitz asma v'in Adam mesim asma rasha. A person is his own kinsman, and a person cannot render himself wicked, and therefore we're going to ignore the detail that he's the one who did the murder, and I believe that the husband is dead as far as her being able to get remarried according to the Rabbanan, right? But then we say, well, then how do we explain Rabbi Yehuda? Why does Rabbi Yehuda think that she can't get remarried in that situation? So Lema Rabbi Yosef Damar Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef agree with each other, and Rabbi Yehuda says that Rabbi Yehuda thinks, just like Rabbi Yosef, that if someone testifies something and they by testifying that they are also saying about themselves that they committed a crime, we believe them about themselves, invalidating themselves, and thus invalidating themselves for the entire testimony. And that is why when I say, I killed the husband, we don't believe me about anything. And she can't get remarried at all. Amar lecha Rav Yosef could say, no, Ana de Amrei Afilu Rabbanan. Actually, I agree with the rabbis, too. I'm not limited to Rabbi Yehuda. V'shani Edos Isha de Afilu Barabbanan. Right? And maybe the rabbis think that we're especially lenient for this type of situation, right? For a woman who is stuck, that's where we're going to be lenient about. We are going to be lenient about even a biblical crime. Rav Menashe d'amar Rabbi Yehuda, and Rav Menashe holds like Rabbi Yehuda, right? Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Menashe agree that there's a distinction between a biblical and a rabbinic crime. But Rav Yosef fits for both opinions in the Mishnah. Okay, it's a little complicated, but essentially what we get out of this is that you don't have to pin either opinion in the Mishnah about like Rav Yosef or like Rava. Okay, there's a way to fix it, to fix both opinions to fit in. And you don't have to pin Rav Menashe to either one either. But they, you know, you just can't hold them simultaneously. So, all right. So, in the middle of this, though, we brought up Rava, and we said that, that in one permutation, in one version of these opinions, okay, we would be saying that everybody agrees that there's a distinction between rabbinic between rabbinic and biblical crimes. Okay, everybody agrees that, both the first opinion and Rabbi Yehuda agree that, but Rava, if you hold like Rava, then when I say I killed him, we just ignore the part that I killed him, and we only hear the part he's dead. So I can say I killed him, and we therefore allow her to. Now, what this case adds is that this is a situation where it's not traditional testimony. Right? Because I'm not necessarily coming with a second person to say this. I'm saying it by myself. I'm coming by myself and testifying, he's dead, because I killed him, by myself.
And in a sense, the idea of there even being a crime is incidental to the testimony. We're talking about incidental before, right? There's not, the question is the guy dead or not?
Right, so the consequence is not going to be there's no question that I'm not going to be put to death here, that everybody is going to agree.
Right.
I'm not going to be put to death by saying this because there's not even somebody else to
testify
with me about
that.
But it's incidental to his deadness. Right. But if we believe me that I killed him, if we would believe me, then I should be an invalid witness and thus be
invalid witness to everything, all the time, anywhere.
Yeah, and including this case itself. And we shouldn't believe me when I say that the husband is dead and she should not be able to get remarried.
Right.
But, you know, the reason this is important here is because we're not anymore even talking about traditional testimony. This is Edus Isha. This is like...
Right, but also, he's only... He only becomes an invalid witness because of his testimony. Right? Nobody else is coming to say he's an invalid witness. He's making himself an invalid witness, so he can't do that because he can't incriminate himself. So he can't incriminate himself.
Right, but he's coming all by himself. He's not even, there's
right,
not
right.
Somebody else also testifying this about me.
Right,
it's just me.
Right, so therefore you have to ignore that because he's testifying against himself. So he can't be made an
but
invalid.
I can only be made an invalid witness if two people testify I'm invalid, right?
Right.
But here only one person is coming.
Right, so he's not an invalid witness. And he says that the guy's dead.
So he's not an invalid, right, but he's not an invalid witness. He's not an invalid witness because... According to Rav Yosef, what I'm saying is like, why are we even talking about this? Because there's no other witness with him, right?
Right.
So So why are we even talking about this? It seems like an extension, because we're talking about a guy who comes by himself and says this. Right? So now we're starting to apply rules that we thought were limited to talking about traditional testimony, and we're applying it beyond that. Okay, so that already starts to bend it beyond. He's not just saying, oh, he's a karov in the sense of a traditional karov. And, right, it's just a little complicated because, well, maybe it's that Edus Isha, we're treating it as if two witnesses, you know. We're going to look at everything he says as if two witnesses said it. So, but it's not the previous two cases where there was somebody else who was not a party to this at all, who was an objective third party who was testifying this along with him. Here that's not the case. He's coming by himself. Okay. Let's stop here because I think everybody's very tired, and including myself. We're going to stop. And then next time, we're going to see a Gemara that doesn't even bring up the karov part. So.